Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Matthew J. Kirby's Icefall, a coming-of-age tale filled with Norse mythology, garnered glowing reviews from Kirkus, Publishers Weekly, and the novelist Ursula Le Guin when it was published last year. But being nominated for and winning the coveted Edgar Award caught the Utah author completely by surprise. Today on the program, Matthew Kirby joins us to talk about the honor and how his day job fits in with his storytelling. Matthew Kirby joins me in studio. And Matthew, good morning. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Kirby is the author of two books. His first book is The Clockwork Three. His latest book, Icefall, is, as I mentioned, the winner of this year's Edgar Award for Juvenile Fiction. And he joins us in studio. Later on in the program, we're turning to urban arts, an arts festival with a decidedly urban feel. But first, Matthew Kirby, if you've got questions or comments about Icefall or mystery writing, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Matthew Kirby, last month you won the Edgar for juvenile fiction, and the Edgars, of course, are the most prestigious awards in the genre, mystery genre. Thank you so much for coming, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And we know that an Oscar, is heavy. It's gold. It's this figure. What does the Edgar look like, and what does it feel like?
The Edgar is a ceramic bust of Edgar Allan Poe.
Cool.
And it's honestly kind of an ugly little thing, but that's a part of its charm. It's been the same sort of trophy statuette since they started giving the award in 1946, when they still gave radio drama, awards. So it's kind of a tradition, and people kind of think that the unattractiveness is part of its appeal.
Describe the moment when you found out you'd been nominated. How did you react?
I was actually really surprised, because when I set out to write Icefall, it was first and foremost the main character Solveig's story. I think sometimes when you approach genre fiction, you have sort of the intent, I'm going to write a mystery, I'm going to write a fantasy. In this case, I wanted to write Solveig's story, and it happened to be a mystery. So the mystery was not first and foremost in my mind. I knew that was an important element. So to get the nomination for a mystery award did catch me off guard.
Where were you?
I was at work, and a fellow Utah writer, Tess Hilmo, actually emailed me and said, hey, did you see this? And I hadn't even seen it yet, so.
Speaking of work, you do have a day job. You are a school psychologist.
Yes.
And you work in the Davis School District. Are your two hats, the writer and the school psychologist, related in some way?
Well, there's obviously an overlap in who I'm working with. As a school psychologist, I am working with kids. For the past 7 years, I've worked with elementary age students, and that's also who I write for. So there is overlap in that the job as a school psychologist keeps me in daily contact with kids, and that does inform my writing in an indirect way. That daily contact, but I do have a very firm boundary, a line that I draw. Like, people assume that working as a school psychologist would provide me with this unending fountain of material, but I take the confidentiality and trust that I have with the students that I'm working with very seriously, and I would never want any of them to feel like they were recognizing themselves in one of my books and that I had somehow exploited that relationship.
I imagine that's a tenuous line, because people do identify with characters in books and
exactly.
They see parts of themselves.
Yeah.
And I did wonder if somebody, if you've drawn certain character traits for your protagonist Solveig, or for her sister Asa, or other characters that appear in Icefall in your other book.
Not directly from any students that I know. Or children that I know. The characters in my books have all felt like individually distinct, real people to me. But one thing about writing historical fiction is I think it makes it, it kind of creates a little bit more of that boundary.
You studied history as an undergraduate, and then you turned to educational psychology. Was writing ever part of this ambition, your equation, your life equation?
Writing has been an ambition since I was about 12 or 13. I started writing stories when I was in about third grade, and then when I was about 12 or 13, my parents gave me A Wizard of Earthsea for Christmas, and I had a moment as I was reading it where, and I mean, I can remember the specific sentence. It just struck me, and suddenly,
The sentence?
I've kind of got to set it up a bit. There's in the book A Wizard of Earthsea, the main character Ged is he's at a school learning how to do magic, and he's incredibly ambitious, incredibly brilliant, and kind of on a dare in conflict with other students at the school. He embarks on sort of a forbidden spell, and he brings this he opens this rift to another dimension, and he brings forth this creature that she described it as leaping through this rift as a clot of black shadow. And for some reason, those words, I suddenly became aware that behind every book there is an author who is crafting the story, the language, the words. And I reread it over and over and over again, that one line, and so it was then that I knew that I wanted to do what Ursula K. Le Guin was doing. I never stopped to think about the fact that there are authors who are out there producing this work, and I knew I wanted to do that. So it has been an ambition from the very beginning, and that played a part in my choice to go into education, because I knew it would allow me summers and time to write.
We're speaking with the author Matthew J. Kirby. His book Icefall is the winner of this year's Edgar Award for juvenile fiction. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's turn to your novel, Icefall. It's set in Viking times. The king has three children. Their mother has died in childbirth, and he's off to battle. But he sent his children to this sort of secluded glacial environment to be protected by some of his prize warriors. When you wrote the book, you said you didn't think of it as a mystery. Now that you've won this mystery award, do you think of the book differently in any way?
I do. I mean, Icefall was always somewhat difficult to classify. I mean, I get emails from readers that they think it's a fantasy. Other people think it's a historical fiction. Other people think it's mystery. So it has sort of solidified or defined what it is a little bit for me, just in terms of how I describe it to people who haven't read it. But the mystery element of it is certainly central to the plot and how it moves forward.
Sure. How much research did you have to do in the Viking way of life or in Norse mythology as you embarked on this adventure?
Quite a bit. I really immersed myself in the literature of the time. There's the Poetic Edda and the Prose Edda, and they have, you know, the Norwegian sagas and Icelandic sagas. I really just immersed myself in those and just tried to put myself in that frame of mind, in that mindset from that time. It was just a very different way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? In what ways is the Viking worldview different from the way we think today?
Well, one thing that always struck me is that, the environment, in a lot of ways, the environment back then is actively trying to kill you.
It's harsh.
Yeah, very, very harsh, a very harsh lifestyle. And so you can see why they would look at mountains and they would conjure trolls. I mean, because this is in some ways, like, those mountains are malevolent. The winter is malevolent. And every year it's all about preparing for that winter so that you have enough food to make it through, so that your livestock has enough food to make it through.
The protagonist in the book, Icefall, is a girl named Solveig. Describe this character for us.
Solveig actually was the first thing that came to me. The first few pages of Icefall remain in the book as I wrote them the first time through. Hmm. Her voice and her character were just there. And I actually put off writing the book. I wrote those first few pages and I became scared because I knew that I had to tell her story and do right by it, and I didn't know if I was up to that challenge. But yeah, she's just an amazingly complex character who in some ways is ahead of her time. She doesn't quite fit in with the people around her. She looks at things differently. But it's that different way of looking at things that ultimately proves, you know, her ability to save her family.
She's the middle child. She's got a beautiful older sister and sort of envies that physical beauty that she has. Her younger brother, the heir to the throne. So she's kind of in this precarious position in her family and her nation.
Yes, yes. She, in a lot, has never really felt like she belonged within her family. She's never felt that she has a role to play. Her sister, Asa, who is, you know, who's beautiful, is bringing suitors to her father and is going to create some kind of, you know, strategic relationship that way. Her brother is the heir apparent, and everyone just dotes on him, and she's always felt overlooked and ignored and doesn't really know what place she might play, but she desperately wants to do something important for her family and for her people.
Mm. Why did you decide to write in a girl's voice? And you know, and how hard was it to channel, to develop this female voice that was very authentic?
In some ways it was really easy, and then other ways it was difficult. I mean, I did have my editor at Scholastic, Lisa Sandell. I mean, she, as a woman, she was able to really kind of help me with some parts that definitely needed, you know, to be smoothed out. But in a lot of ways, that voice, like I said, from the beginning was really there. And I felt like I knew her, you know, from page one. But in terms of that choice, there didn't ever really seem to be another option for me, because when a character comes to you and basically is telling you, I tell my story, you have to do it first person. I mean, that was just really how it came about.
Mm. We're talking with Matthew J. Kirby. He's the author of the young adult novel Icefall, which won this year's Edgar Award for Juvenile Fiction. If you'd like to join us, if you have questions for Kirby about his writing or his day job as a school psychologist, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. By day, he's a respected school psychologist for the Davis School District, but his after-school activity as a writer is the reason we're talking with him today. We're speaking with Matthew J. Kirby, the Utah author and winner of this year's Edgar Award for Juvenile Fiction, for his book Icefall. And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. If you have questions or comments about the book or about writing suspense novels for kids, give us a call, 801-355-8255. Now, before the break, we were talking about the primary character in Icefall, Solveig. I'd like to turn to some of the themes that you address. I mean, these are very common to the coming of age novel. But the primary one that stuck out for me in this book is the question of loyalty and the fear of betrayal. And I guess my question to you is, why pick that theme to be so prominent in the story of Solveig? I mean, in her life and in the way she handles relationships, and she's very conscious of her place in the world.
I think that came about at an almost unconscious level. As I kind of mentioned before the break, I immersed myself in the literature of the time, and loyalty is a very common theme in the Icelandic sagas and Norwegian sagas. And so as I was writing Icefall, I was trying to layer as much of that, as much as I had taken from that research, I was trying to layer that into the story. And so loyalty emerged as a theme I think through that kind of, you know, influence.
Another one, of course, finding out how you are, who you are. And by the end of the novel, Solveig has kind of figured out where she belongs and who she is. Did this come for you in your teenage years as it did for Solveig, or did it come much later as you developed in your career and maturing as a writer?
It started at about the same age as it does for Solveig, and I think that's the case for, you know, a lot of kids. I mean, that sort of coming into your identity is a really universal theme, whether you're writing a young adult or middle grade novel set in ancient Norway, or you're writing a contemporary novel. I mean, that's just a part of maturation and that everybody goes through. I think in some ways that resonated with me, because it was at about 12 or 13 that I decided I wanted to be a storyteller. And Solveig also decides she wants to be a storyteller. The mode is different. I mean, in ancient Norse culture, I mean, you had skalds, who were these guys who would stand up before the hall and they would tell stories, and often compose them on the spot. And I'm, you know, I compose at my computer and have plenty of time to edit. But the mode may be different, but that sort of finding the storyteller within at that particular age that Solveig, I guess Solveig and I do share that, yeah.
Mm. There is a great character in your book named Ulrik. I think that's how you say it. And he is the storyteller. He's sort of like the entertainment for the people who are sequestered in this frozen fortress. Was having a storyteller part of that Viking tradition? I mean, did they bring storytellers along as a way to keep up morale and keep people's spirits high? Is that?
Yes. They were a big part of that culture. In fact, later on, after the time period in which Icefall takes place, there was actually a school for skalds in Iceland, run by Snorri Sturluson, and he I mean, his writings and what he left behind, it's basically a playbook, a rule book for this is how you be a skald, and he established a lot of the rules for the skaldic verse, because it was very rigid, that form of art. But yeah, they were highly respected, and one of the most respected figures in that culture would be the ruler, the king or chieftain, who was also a skald and could also, you know, compose those epic stories.
And yet, at one point in the book, Ulrik says that Solveig should not trust him, because as storytellers, we're all liars.
Right. Yeah. Ulrik was a lot of fun to write, because he really he was in some ways my devil's advocate, because he was presenting a lot of questions and quandaries that stretch the limits of what a story is and what it isn't, and what a story can accomplish and what it can't. And so it was a lot of fun to play off those moments when he and Solveig are talking about what story is.
We're speaking with Matthew J. Kirby about his award-winning novel, Icefall. And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. Why choose to write for the young adult audience? I mean, you've always known that you wanted to tell stories. You wanted to be a writer. But why young adults? Why children's lit?
You know, there was a moment a few years back. I've been actively trying to be published, writing, submitting for about, I guess about 12 years now. It was about 10 years before I got my first book, you know, accepted by Scholastic. The first 6 or 7 of those I did spend trying to write for adult audiences. But I had mild successes here and there, enough encouragement to keep going, but not nearly what I was hoping for. But one day I was just driving in the car, and I realized that the ideas that I had, the stories that I wanted to tell, and because I work in schools, I read a lot of children's literature, and I realized that they're some of my favorite books to read. I thought maybe I'd be better suited writing for children. So I kind of threw out the project I'd been working on at that time, and I started working on a new book with the intent that I'm going to write this for a younger audience. And then I kind of started looking around, and it turns out here in Utah there's an amazing workshop run by Carol Lynch Williams. They're writing and illustrating for Young Readers Workshop. They hold it every summer, and I I looked it up and found it, and I took a class from Martine Levitt there, and I met my agent at that conference, and things just sort of went. I mean, and things happened so well after that, it kind of confirmed to me that I'd made the right choice, that, yeah, this, the world of children's literature is where I should be kind of devoting my creative energy.
There are a number of best-selling and award-winning young adult novelists in Utah.
It is
quite amazing. Yeah. Brandon Mull, the New York Times best-selling author, Rick Riordan, Sarah Zarr.
James Dashner.
Yeah, James Dashner. I mean, there are just many, many names that, I mean, what is it about Utah and kids' books? What do you think?
I don't know. That's actually a question that comes up all the time, and you hear many, many different possible answers, and I really don't know what it is. I wish I had some great answer for it. I'm just grateful for it, because the community here is so amazing. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Your books, as you mentioned, are published by Scholastic, which is the world's largest publisher of children's books. I'm thinking Hunger Games, Goosebumps, Harry Potter. I mean, you don't get much bigger than those. You mentioned that you met your agent at a local function. How did you hook up with Scholastic?
Well, my agent took it from there. He had met the woman who would become my editor at a conference, and so he knew her tastes. He knew what she was looking for, and she was the first person that he sent the book to. And she responded immediately. Scholastic, they actually made an offer on the book 5 days after receiving the manuscript, which is,
wow,
it's incredibly fast. It really, really took me by surprise.
Well, you must have just thought, I've hit the jackpot getting signed with Scholastic.
Oh, it was the perfect place for me to land as an author. Mm. I've really, really been happy.
Let's go back to your experience at the Edgar Awards. On your blog, you mentioned that you had to buy a suit because
yes,
you didn't own one.
Yeah.
I find that
endearing. Well, it was black tie. I mean, I have blazers, but I didn't have an actual suit. And it had to be a black suit, too, because, I mean, half the people there were in tuxedos. But I didn't mind. I think hopefully I'll have other occasions to wear it.
What was that like, that moment right before your name was announced? I mean, it must have been just excruciatingly painful sitting there and waiting.
Well, honestly, it wasn't, because I had been so looking forward to meeting Neil Gaiman, who is another nominee for an Edgar in a different category, that I hadn't actually put a lot of thought into that actual moment when they would announce it. But it was kind of funny, because I was actually able to sort of stay calm and not think about it until about 2 seconds before the presenter got up and read the nominees. And then my heart rate just skyrocketed. And then they said Icefall, and I walked up in a daze to give my speech.
So do you remember what you said?
Not really. I know that I quoted Richard Peck, the great children's author. He said that we write by the light of every book we've ever read. Hmm. And I definitely feel that way about my writing, because there are so many authors who have inspired me over the years.
Speaking with Matthew J. Kirby, he's the author of Icefall, which won this year's Edgar Award for Juvenile Fiction. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to the phones, and Sam is joining us from Salt Lake City. Sam, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Matt, love your book. Icefall is a fabulous book. I just had a question for aspiring writers. You mentioned a little that you got an agent and all of that, but if someone is wanting to write a book and decides to go for it, what should he plan on doing, or time expected, so that one day he can be a published author?
Well, I would say that, just in terms of realism, be prepared for a long haul. And if you really want to be published traditionally, that can take quite a while. The two biggest pieces of advice that I give to people, though, is to read as much as you can and as widely as you can. I usually make sure that I'm reading books in many different genres, because story is universal, and I think as authors we need to see how it works, regardless of the setting or the characters. And then the other thing is to write and as much as you possibly can, and don't be afraid to try new things and to just keep writing and keep writing different kinds of stories until you kind of find your voice. But yeah, be prepared for a long haul. I mean, I know that, you know, some of the newer ways of getting published that are not sort of the traditional, you go to a publisher and they publish it, like the self-publishing routes that are available now have kind of shortened that process. But if you want to be published by one of the, you know, big New York publishers, be prepared for a long journey.
Sam, do you have a manuscript in your back pocket?
No, I don't. I hope to someday. That would be pretty cool. But I guess, so if in terms of the Utah community, is there, you mentioned a little bit about Martine Levitt. Are there conferences that I should plan on going to or anything that I should kind of become familiar with before I take all these steps?
Well, definitely get to know other writers and work with them. A critique group will be an invaluable resource to you if you find a good group of people who are really willing to work with you and help you as you help them. That conference that I mentioned earlier, the Writing and Illustrating for Young Readers Workshop, it's actually coming up in the middle of June, and there are still slots available for a number of the classes. I'm actually teaching this year, so it's kind of a full circle moment. I got my start there, and I'm going back to teach there. But yeah, that, and you can go to their website, www.wifyr.com, and check that out.
I will put a link on our website, kcpw.org. Sam, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
801-355-TALK is our number. We're speaking with Matthew J. Kirby. He's the author of Icefall, which won this year's Edgar Award for young adult fiction. You mentioned that you were able to rub shoulders with one of your literary heroes, Neil Gaiman. What do you admire about Gaiman's work?
Well, with him, I actually, the reference in my speech to writing by the books, you know, by the light of the books we've read, that was a reference in that speech to Neil Gaiman being there in that room, because his novel American Gods, which is an adult, you know, fantasy novel, it really was showed me how to layer mythology over a real concrete setting. And that was something I was looking to do with Solveig's story in Icefall. I wanted to work in the mythology and make it feel integral. And so American Gods was kind of a roadmap for me on how to do that.
You've won an Edgar Award. This is a big deal. What is it going to mean for your writing career? I understand that you're sort of wrapping up one phase of your life as a school psychologist. You've decided to leave that profession and devote yourself to writing full time.
Yeah, and it's with a mix of emotions that I kind of take that leap. I love my job as a school psychologist, and I'm going to miss it. But it's really reached a point where I just don't have the bandwidth to do both. The time, you know, involved in writing in that career has just really become, it's become very demanding, and I feel very fortunate to be saying that. But yeah, it has sort of reached a point where I feel like I was compromising both to try and do both. And so I want to commit to one and do it as well as I can.
Mm-hmm. Had you made that decision before the Edgar?
Actually, yeah, it was right before the Edgar. I'd kind of thought, you know, I think I've reached that point. I think it's time.
I understand you've got another book in the works. Can you tell us about this book project?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple in the works, actually. The book that I'm finishing up right now is a colonial American fantasy, kind of a Jules Verne-esque adventure through an American frontier that never existed. And that will be coming out next fall. Next fall, I will also have my installment in Scholastic's new Infinity Ring series. And that's a really exciting project to be involved in. Just some amazing writers on that team, and we've had a lot of fun brainstorming and coming up with the story for that. And shortly, I hope to be able to announce plans for a trilogy, a fantasy trilogy with Scholastic after that.
You've got a few irons in the fire. I guess, finally, from you, what's the best thing about being a writer? I mean, is it the feedback you get from your fans? Is it just seeing your name in print for the first time? Is it telling these stories like Solveig's that you felt just had to be told? What is it?
Yeah, I think my favorite part is sharing these stories that I have I love these stories that I tell. I mean, they really, you know, excite my imagination, and to be able to put that out there and then hear back from kids that they enjoyed it, I mean, there's really nothing more rewarding.
Matthew J. Kirby, he is the author of Icefall, which won this year's Edgar Award for Juvenile Fiction, and soon to be an unemployed school psychologist. And Matt, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Coming up after a break, celebrating graffiti, breakdancing, and skateboarding, this is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.